This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to another stop on our journey with the Quran. And today we're going to talk about one of the most beautiful surah of the Quran. And again, we keep saying that all of the surah of the Quran are beautiful. But this is a surah that deals with the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bounties that we cannot even count or enumerate. And this is the Surah An-Nahl. An-Nahl are the bees. So if you think about it, the bee is a very small insect that is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as all the creatures are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that small insect travels tirelessly hundreds of miles, sucking the nectar from different flowers and different plants. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through a miracle, allows these insects to digest this nectar, and from that comes a translucent, beautiful food that is so healthy and so nutritious that it's a sort of a miracle by itself, and that is honey. So Surah An-Nahl is a surah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, and it is also known as Surah An-Ni'am. An-Ni'am are the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to find a recurring theme in this surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds those who want to remember and those who want to pay attention to the amount of bounties that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, that no one else can claim to have any power in providing these bounties to us. And at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the non-believers kept rushing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone's logical thinking would say, oh Allah, if this is the truth, guide me to that truth. Show me that truth and put it in my heart, in my mind, and in my life. But the non-believers used to say something very odd that doesn't make any sense. They used to say, Allahumma in kana hadha huwa al-haqqa min indik. Oh Allah, if this is the truth from yours, فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَأْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Let the sky rain rocks on our heads and rush the severe punishment to us. That doesn't make any sense. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His clemency, with His forbearance, Al-Halim, Al-Azim subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected for this particular nation not for the judgment and not for the punishment to be rushed, but to be delayed. Since, again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet and messenger. In the previous nations, whenever they challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way, punishment would come within the life of their prophet or messenger, and these nations would be destroyed, and life continues, the truth prevails, and then comes another cycle, and so on, as we have mentioned before. But since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet and messenger, and his message is the eternal one, the one, the long-lasting one until the end of life on this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to destroy the nations immediately, but to give them chances to reconsider and to repent. And if not, then the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming sooner or later. Here the surah starts with this severe warning, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوا. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come. Things have been decided and settled and written, so do not rush it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorifying Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala from the things that they are associating with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples in this surah, beautiful examples again, for those who want to ponder. Among these examples, خلق الإنسان من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين. This human being was created out of sperm, and then He is arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This nothing of a human being is arguing with Al-Jabbar subhanahu wa ta'ala, the conqueror subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who's in whose hands are all the powers. Look at the disproportionate comparison here between a human being that is nothing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Halim al-Azim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, not only did He create the humans, but He subhanahu wa ta'ala made life easy for these humans, made life comfortable, and made all the other creatures sort of serving these humans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us as humans in a status of sort of supremacy and the ability to a certain extent to control the other creatures, to domesticate and to utilize and to make benefit of the other creatures. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that He created all the cattle, whether it's camels, sheep, cows, muttons, whatever. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. In the skins of these cattle or these animals, in the wool of these animals, you find warmth that protects you from the elements, whether it's rain or cold. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ. And there are other benefits. Some of them are used as rides to carry heavy weights, even heavy loads. Even today, by the way, the explorers or the ones who travel in the treks of the mountains where no cars can venture, they carry their luggage on the back of mules, which are very sturdy animals that can carry heavy loads. So we still benefit from these animals until today in the 21st century. وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And you eat from these animals as well. So who wouldn't enjoy a nice and juicy steak, for example, for the carnivores, for those who enjoy meat? So the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us only through just a group of His creatures, the cattle, by themselves are so many. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And not only do we benefit from them in a direct way, from eating their meat or wearing their skin or their leather or their wool or something like that, but also some of these animals are joy to the eye, like horses, for example, thoroughbred horses or Arabian horses, or to some people, camels. They have sometimes competitions for the best or the most beautiful camel and things of that sort. So there is a certain kind of enjoyment. People who have pets, if you have a cat, for example, and you enjoy the company of that cat or any other pets, and so on and so forth. So through these creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, there are so many ways of enjoying them. وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنفُسِ. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that sometimes these animals carry your heavy loads while traveling to places that you couldn't reach otherwise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different groups of these animals. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That the horses, the mules, and the donkeys, which are basically animals of ride, to use for rides or to carry heavy weights. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala has created things that you don't even know about. And subhanAllah, it's quite amazing that until now in the 21st century, we are discovering new species of animals or of reptiles or of insects or of birds that have never been recorded or categorized or documented before. هو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء لكم منه شراب ومنه شجر فيه تسيمون. Another bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this rain that comes from the sky. Now, rain can sometimes be a blessing. Most of the times it's a blessing. And sometimes also it can be a punishment. Some people think mistakenly that, for example, when there's a flood, when it rains for several days in a row, that this is excessive. It is not excessive. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it has been well calculated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in another ayah, وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ. So it is all calculated, the amount of rain that a certain place or a certain country or a certain region would get, it is all predetermined and calculated meticulously by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a wisdom that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Sometimes a country would be tested with heavy rains and monsoons and floods and hurricanes and things of that sort. Again, to test them with the bounty and to test them with the hardship as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills people to show their solidarity, their support for each other, their compassion for each other, which wouldn't have been manifested otherwise until it's a time for hardship. It's very easy for anyone to say, I am merciful, I am charitable, I am compassionate. But when it's put to the test, this is where we can truly prove whether we are what we claim or something else. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us and made us in control of اللَّيْل وَالنَّهَار, night and day, وَالشَّمْس وَالْقَمَر وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ. And the stars are running according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These stars, and again, for most of us, we do not really appreciate the beauty of the stars because we cannot see them anymore because of the light pollution and things of that sort. But if you are fortunate enough to go to one of those places called dark places or dark skies, where there's no light pollution for miles and miles in each direction, you can see hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of stars and planets and constellations, things that if you live in a city, especially a big city, you will not be able to appreciate that. But again, in the ancient times and until now, people use these stars for navigation and knowing their direction and so on and so forth. We have been in control of the day and the night. So, for example, if you want to have a nap during the day, you can draw the curtains so that you can sleep in a dark environment. If you want to work late at night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the artificial light, the electrical light, so that we can work at night. So we are sort of in control of the day and the night with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو الذي سخر البحر لتأكلوا منه لحما طريا وتستخرجوا منه حلية تلبسونها وترى الفلك مواخر فيه ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us also in control of the seas and the oceans and the rivers. We can harness the power of the seas and the oceans and the rivers for hydroelectric generation, for example, for desalination, where we can get fresh water even out of the sea or the ocean. We can harness the power of the rivers by building dams for hydroelectric generation or for navigation through these waterways to carry our goods and our trade, and sometimes to have leisurely trips on these rivers and these waterways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, to a certain extent, made us in control or made these creatures in our service to ease our travel and our lives in general. وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَن تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وأنهارا وسبلا لعلهم يهتدون ولعلكم تهتدون وعلامات وبالنجم هم يهتدون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the foundations on this earth, which are the mountains that are so stable, that help stabilize this earth so that it doesn't collapse under our feet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these rivers and these roads and trails through which we can travel and walk, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ وَعَلَامَاتٍ. And these are also signs. So these are milestones where we can recognize different places based on certain natural features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question, أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ? Is the one who creates, which is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like those who do not create, which is anyone else, أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ? How can you equate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you make an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We sometimes mistakenly use the word create in a very flexible way or loose way. We do not create anything. We cannot create anything, because creating means making something out of nothing. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because otherwise, whatever we make, whatever we manufacture, whatever we develop, whatever we improve, whatever we invent, it is out of the raw material or the different components that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made available to us. But we do not, we cannot, we will not create anything out of nothing. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds us, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This ayah comes twice actually, once in Surah Ibrahim and once in Surah An-Nahl. However, the conclusion of the ayah is quite different. So in Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds especially the non-believers about the bounties that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon all of His creation. And then what was the response of these non-believers? They denied these bounties, or they attributed them to someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ayah comes in Surah Ibrahim, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. This human being is truly an oppressor, a serial oppressor, and one who denies, who does not attribute these bounties to the source of these bounties, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the same ayah at the beginning of the ayah, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to enumerate them or to count them, to put a number to them. So you cannot say there's a billion bounties or there are 10 billion bounties. No, you cannot even count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this ayah in the context of reminding us about these bounties so that we may return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the ending of the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who open their eyes and their minds and their hearts and recognize these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attribute them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, all merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He knows what we declare or what we hide. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. So after all of these bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, my behavior and your behavior should be acknowledgement of these bounties, appreciation of these bounties, and showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone meets these bounties with rejection, with rebellion, with hiding these bounties, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they hide and what they declare as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about a group of non-believers who tell the believers, follow us and we're going to carry your burden on the day of judgment. And when you ask them about what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal, they would say, oh, it's just, this is nonsense. These are old legends. These are old stories that don't make any sense. And unfortunately today, you're going to find many people who have, again, in their way of equating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side, and their minds and their knowledge and what they call their science on the other side. And this is completely incorrect and mistaken, because true science will never conflict with the true revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I repeat that. True science will never conflict with the true revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. False science may conflict with that, and it will be proven false and wrong later on. Now, one of the big issues, especially in the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, was the concept of evolution. So is there evolution or isn't there evolution? And we have seen people going to extremes both ways. Those who are on one extreme, they say, well, there is evolution, and we are all descendants of a very tiny organism that started evolving randomly through the water, and then it became a bigger organism, and then a bigger one, and started splitting into different cells and multiplying and so on. And then we are relatives with the dinosaurs and the fish and the chicken and so on and so forth. So this is one extreme that claims that there's one ancestor to all of these creatures, and that that the creation keeps on evolving. And they do not attribute the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other extreme, there's another group that says, well, there's nothing. Evolution is a completely evil theory. It's a completely wrong theory, and there's no adaptation, and there's nothing as such. Well, there's a middle ground in between. And that middle ground is that we admit, or we can accept, that there is adaptation. I wouldn't say evolution in the way that these extremists say, but adaptation. And this adaptation happens according to the will and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no vacuum or void behind this adaptation. It's all happening according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in a couple of days, inshallah, we're going to talking about one another beautiful surah of the Quran, Surah Taha. And in this surah comes a very interesting ayah in the confrontation between Sayyidina Musa and Fir'aun. Fir'aun, as any tyrant would be, is very impatient, having a very short temper, do not possess any logic. They just rule by brute force. So when Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam came to make his case in front of Fir'aun, invite Fir'aun to Islam as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fir'aun asked him, and who is your Lord? Tell me, who is your creator? Who is your Lord that you're claiming is the creator, while I am claiming that I am the Lord? So he's asking Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Harun, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى? Who is your Lord, you and your brother? Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam had to give a very brief but comprehensive answer. An answer that cannot be refuted. Just like the answer of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam in front of a Namrud, when he claimed that I can cause life and death, Sayyidina Ibrahim asked him to make the sun rise from the west, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it rise from the east. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. He could not answer. This is a conclusive response to the false argument of a Namrud. Similarly, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam had to come up with a conclusive response to the false arguments of Fir'aun. Look at what Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam said. قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Our Lord is the one who gave each creature its form, its shape, its creation, ثُمَّ هَدَى, and then guided it to live within that creation in the environment that surrounds it. So we find, for example, when we read about these very strange worms that grow into pipes in the bottom of the ocean next to cracks in the crust of the earth where water is boiling at the bottom of the ocean, they can survive in this extreme heat. When we hear about certain insects that can live in complete darkness and in very harsh environment where the water around them is sort of sulfuric acid, it's acid that they can live in. When we hear about birds that can soar in the very high altitudes without in the very thin air where no human can survive. When we hear or we read about the different creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, about the whales that can dive to great depths of the ocean where the pressure can crush any submarine, for example, steel submarine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all of these species and made them adapt according to His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, adapt to the environment where they are living, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to live their lives in these environments that are very hostile to the humans or unlivable to the humans. So again, we can see there's a bird with a curved beak, another one with a straight one, and a third one with a long one, a fourth one with a short one, one big bird that doesn't fly, one small bird that flies and flips its wings thousands of times a minute, and so on and so forth. Who created all of these? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who enabled them to live in these different environments. Again, this is how we can reconcile the true science and the true observation with the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam as a human, not as an ape or a monkey or a chimpanzee or something like that. And then he evolved from that to the human that we know today, the Homo sapiens. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human in the complete, perfect shape that the human has today. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. So again, we have to understand our limitations, our observations and our inquisitive mind and our science. All of these have limits. We cannot put them above the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can reconcile true science with true faith. And this is the work of a true believer who sees in everything that surrounds him or her signs of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this surah is full of these signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about this group of non-believers who again tell the believers to just follow us and we're going to carry your burden on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارَهُمْ كَامِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمِنْ أَوْزَارِ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَزِرُونَ. These leaders of disbelief are going to carry the full load of their sins on the Day of Judgment, as well as the sins of those who follow them into misguidance. أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَزِرُونَ. What can be worse than that heavy load that is going to burden their backs on the Day of Judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another example. And again, Quran is not a book of science. Quran is a book of life. There are some people who try to find scientific miracles through the Quran and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, good for them. However, Quran is a book of life. Sometimes people go to extremes trying to explain a certain scientific miracle through an ayah of the Quran. Yani we stick to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did and the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we don't try to twist the arm of some of the ayat. Yet here there's an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us again a clear understanding of things. Now, if you want to demolish a house, how do you demolish the house? The most effective way to demolish a house is to demolish it from the bottom up and from not from the top down. If you start by demolishing the roof or the slab at the top and then the beams and then the columns and so on, it's going to take a long time. But if you want to make that house collapse immediately, go to the root, go to the foundations. If you destabilize the foundations, it's going to destabilize the whole house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this example. فَأَتَى اللَّهُ بُنْيَانَهُمْ مِنَ الْقَوَاعِدِ قَدْ مَكَرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَأَتَى اللَّهُ بُنْيَانَهُمْ مِنَ الْقَوَاعِدِ فَخَرَّ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّقْفُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. Those who plotted against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to their buildings, the falsehood that they have been accumulating in the form of a high-rise building, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed it or attacked it from its foundation. Because that foundation doesn't make any sense in the first place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed and shook the foundations, so the roof fell on their heads. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the way He subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Period. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for something to happen, it is enough and adequate to tell that thing be and it becomes. There's no need for any reasons. There's no need for any means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just kun fayakun. We talked before about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And in other surah, like in Surah Fussilat, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gives us the details of these 6 days, what happened in 2 days, what happened in 4 days, and so on and so forth. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sabur. He's patient. He does not rush things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, His creation is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created the heavens and the earth in the blink of an eye or even less. All He had to do, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to say, be, and they would be. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a wisdom that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, chose to create the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And again, 6 days does not mean six 24-hour days like the ones that we are used to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that a day in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be thousands of years, it can be millions of years, and a year in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be, a day in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be like 1,000 years from our own counting, or even 50,000 years of our own counting. So what is 6 days? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to look around us. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يَتَفَيَّأُ ظِلَالُهُ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَالشَّمَائِلِ سُجَّدًا لِلَّهِ وَهُمْ دَاخِرُونَ. Don't they see, don't they look at the things around them, trees, mountains, everything around them, that their shade, the shadow of these things, is moving according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala authorized the sun to move in a certain orbit, and the sun, when it passes over these objects, they cast a certain shade or a certain shadow according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right, depending sometimes on the season and the time of the day. These are signs that we can see around us, we cannot deny. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on these signs, He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prostrate everything in the heavens and in the earth, and all the beasts and all the animals, all of them prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in full, and even the angels prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in full submission. We're going to see later on in Surah Fatir, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about all the creatures, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, everything prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when it came to the humans and the jinn, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, a lot of people prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet the majority, وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابِ, there are so many who deny or reject or rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the ones who are going to deserve His punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to associate with Him. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ لَا تَتَّخِذُوا إِلَٰهَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ وَلَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَهُ الدِّينُ وَاصِبًا أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَتَّقُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, do not take two deities, two idols, two things to be worshipped. Do not worship anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَتَّقُونَ Is there anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should be mindful of, that you should fear, that you should fear and that you should protect yourself from? وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فَإِلَيْهِ تَجْأَرُونَ And whatever bounty you have, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not say, it came from this individual or from that individual or from this means or from that means. Always take it to the source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these individuals and these means as conduits through which that bounty would run to you. Whether it's your boss or the proprietor of your work or something like that, or whether it's the government that gives certain stimulus checks or whatever, all of that comes through these means, but it is also only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about how people met this generosity and this kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with rejection and rebellion, how they attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sons and daughters, especially daughters. They claim that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun. And while, at least to the pagan Arabs before Islam, whenever someone was told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with a daughter, they would feel sad and they would feel ashamed and they would feel angry to the extent that they sometimes would bury that daughter alive out of shame. So if you are ashamed of having daughters, how are you attributing them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ta'ala Allahu amma yasifun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about his command to the bees. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ ثُمَّ كُلِي مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ فَاسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلًا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired and commanded the bees to take residence in mountains. And again, many of us probably do not know that there's a certain species of bees that live in the mountains, and collecting their honey is a very arduous task. Actually, the National Geographic Society had a documentary once about the people who collect honey from these mountains. It's a very, very hard and risky task, but in the end, that honey is of a very big value. And to the rest of us who eat honey on a regular basis, alhamdulillah, there are the bees that travel through the fields and through eating or sucking the nectar from the crops and pollinating these crops. Again, that's another blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about these bees disappearing due to a virus or due to a pest or due to other reasons, due to our own doing through the pesticides, who is going to pollinate these plants? There was another analysis or research about the amount of work it would take to pollinate the plants by hand or through artificial means, which is the work that other insects and especially the bees and some birds do for us for no cost. This is a blessing. This is another of the one of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do underappreciate or do not understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you. And he's the one who restores these souls back. He takes these souls back to his possession subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمْرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ And among you are those who live long enough until the cycle gets its completion. They were young, knowing nothing, and their parents used to take care of them, or adults used to take care of them until they grew up and they became independent and they could earn their own living and live independently. And then they started deteriorating gradually until they reached a certain point in their life, in their late life, where it's full cycle back. They need adults or they need other people to take care of them. They cannot take care of their own selves. I remember several years ago, I was visiting a patient in a hospital, and in the garden of that hospital, there was a nurse pushing a wheelchair where an old, very old gentleman was sitting, and that nurse was speaking to that gentleman exactly as you would speak to a 2 or 3 year old. She was basically telling him stories, baby stories, or singing rhymes to that person because they cannot understand things anymore. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Among the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from su'il kibar, from the ailments and the illnesses and the negative consequences of old age, the being senile or being too weak or not being able to control our own bodily functions and so on and so forth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from reaching that stage. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and allowed us to grow and to support ourselves and our families, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is telling us that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has put some people above other people in certain areas. Some people have more physical power. Some people have more intellect. Some people earn more than others. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. In the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave more to certain people than others in certain areas. And it's all, again, there's an equity. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave someone more intellect, maybe they're not as physically gifted as other people. If He gave physical strength, maybe they're not as smart as other people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave someone the ability to use their mind to earn money from lawful sources, maybe they're not, again. So there's a distribution of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَا الَّذِينَ فُضِّلُوا بِرَدِّ رِزْقِهِمْ عَلَى مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَهُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءَ أَفَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. You cannot redistribute these gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributed them in a way that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, for a wisdom that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Zukhruf that وَجَعْلَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوَقَ بَعْضٍ سُخْرِيَّةً. سُخْرِيَّة. The word سُخْرِيَّة, by the way, some people misunderstand that word سُخْرِيَّة and they confuse it with سِخْرِيَّة. سِخْرِيَّة means to make fun of someone. سُخْرِيَّة means to employ someone. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled a wealthy person to establish a business, and through that business they're going to hire hundreds of or thousands of people, so they're going to be the conduit. Again, we are only conduits. They're going to be the conduit for sustenance to these hundreds of thousands or thousands of people from the sources of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدَةً وَرَزَقَكُم مِّنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ أَفَبِالْبَاطِلْ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made from among yourselves mates. So for the males, there are the females, and for the females, there are the males, and no other way. That is the rule, that's the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدًا. And from your spouses, you had progeny, you had sons and daughters, and you had grandsons and granddaughters. Again, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Money, wealth, and children are the beauty of this earthly life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some examples in the Quran. ضرب الله مثلا عبدا مملوكا لا يقدر على شيء ومن رزقناه منا رزقا حسنا فهو ينفق منه سرا وجهرا هل يستوون الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون. So two individuals, one of them is a burden on their, like a servant that's a burden on his master. He cannot do anything, clumsy, does not have a skill, they cannot do or hold any job. Is that equal to the one who earns a living and spends in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, of course they are not equal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another example. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمُ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ كَلٌّ عَلَى مَوْلَاهُ أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي هُوَ وَمَنْ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the example of two men. One of them is mute. They cannot speak. And they're clumsy. And they cannot do anything right. And they're a burden on the owner of that servant or slave. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. Wherever, if that master or that owner or that boss in the modern age, if someone's working for an authority or for a boss, if that boss orders that employee to do something, they do not do it the right way. They always do things in the wrong way. Is that equal to the one who is knowledgeable, the one who does the things in the right order, in the right way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are not equal. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting one day with one of his companions, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu. And that's before he became a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was still doubting. He listened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the revelation, but still he had some doubts in his heart. He was not sure whether this is the truth or not. So one day he narrates, and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so when one of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was burying her, he said, الحقي بسلفنا الصالح عثمان بن مطعون رضي الله عنه, which means join your good predecessor عثمان بن مطعون رضي الله عنه, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he narrates that before Islam took full control of his mind and his heart, he was sitting in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to him, and then suddenly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked upward and then looked downward, and as if he was not listening to what the man was saying anymore. He was in a sort of a trance, and then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited something, and then he came back to the discussion with the man. So Uthman ibn Mad'un asked him, what was that you were saying? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you hear it? And he said, yes. Would you repeat it for me? So Sayyidina Uthman asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would you repeat it for me? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just revealed to me an ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So he said, repeat that one more time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated the ayah. And he said, repeat it one last time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated it for the third time. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Mad'un says, it is at that moment that I was completely sure that Islam is the way. Faith was complete in my heart and in my mind and in my soul, and I had no doubt about Islam afterwards. What is this ayah? What does it say? This is according to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the most comprehensive ayah in the Quran. What does it say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands justice and excellence. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits indecent behavior and things that are abhorrent to people and transgression against others. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising you, admonishing you, so that you may remember. This ayah compiles all of the good things that the human can do. Al-adl wal-ihsan wa ita'id al-qurba. Ita'id al-qurba, which is giving charity and supporting one's relatives. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So we mentioned before when we were talking about Surah An-Nisa that not very often in the Quran that comes the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come in their strongest form, which is Amr. And we find that in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to give the trusts to its owners. And when you judge among people, to judge with justice and fairness. So we find that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ, and in the surah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ, again, the strongest form of command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the common theme between the two ayat? Al-adl, justice. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that justice is the foundation of any civilization. So since we were talking about if you want a civilization to collapse, you have to shake the foundations, you have to destabilize the foundations, justice is the foundation of any civilization. And when that justice disappears or when it's shaken, sooner or later, and mostly sooner than later, that this civilization is going to collapse. When we look at different civilizations, different nations of the different prophets and messengers, the first thing that disappeared among them was justice. How? The extreme form of injustice is associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they all did that. So they did not justify the cause for their survival. They do not need to exist anymore since they have shaken this most basic of the foundations and the strongest of the foundations, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah. Today, in the 21st century, we find different civilizations, different nations, different countries, different empires. And the only safety valve or safeguard or guarantee for the continuation of a certain civilization or dynasty or empire or kingdom is justice. And whatever that is eliminated, you can make sure that this civilization is not going to survive forever. If we remember in the 20th century, around 1917, started a new civilization or a new ideology, that is communism in the former Soviet Union. And at a certain point in time, in the 50s and the 60s, people thought that this is a very strong empire. It was one of the two superpowers of the world and so on, and it's going to last forever. It has the technology, it has the military power, it has the huge area of land. It was the largest country in the world at that time. And then within a few years, it collapsed because it was based on a very shaky and unstable foundation that sacrifices the human for what they claimed to be for the general good. There's no conflict between the well-being of the individual and the individual wealth and the well-being of the society and the community. So when they made that foundational value disappear, it was no worry that within less than 80 years, that whole civilization or that whole ideology or that whole empire collapsed. I'm saying that because today we have emerging powers, whether it's China or India or existing superpowers like the United States. The only guarantee for the continuation and the rise of such powers is justice. Whenever you see that justice is not a value that's upheld by the government of that country and the people of that country, make sure that this country and this civilization and this empire is going to collapse, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. And if we look all over history, we had the Roman Empire, we had the Persian Empire, we had the Austrian and German Empire, we had the British Empire, and all of these, we had the French Empire, the Dutch Empire, and all of these have collapsed because of the lack of justice and because of the oppression that they have spread in their colonies, treating people unequally, and so on and so forth. So for us today, if you want to maintain your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is only one way, which is to uphold justice. And to uphold justice as an absolute value, not to use it in a preferential way. I'm going to apply justice with my folk, with my kin, with my family, with my tribe, with the people of my country, and I'm not going to uphold it against others because they're not deserving of it. No. Justice is an absolute value that has to be used in an absolute manner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. And in another ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. O you who believe, uphold this justice and this fairness and stand for it and be allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even do it against the ones that you love, against your brethren, against your tribe, against your family. If they are on the wrong side, the truth is what needs and what has to be followed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that among the signs of this justice, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ. Fulfill the pledges to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you make a promise. وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا. And do not undo your oaths and your pledges after confirming them. Do not renege on your promise. And the most important promise and the most important pledge and the most important covenant again is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Never retreat on that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of those who renege on their promises and their covenants, like a crazy woman. A crazy woman who has been spending time, years maybe, weaving a nice fabric, and then suddenly she started undoing it. كَالَّتِي نَقَدَتْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَدَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَ. After she had made that fabric very well aligned and very strong, she started undoing it stitch by stitch. So she wasted all of the effort that she has been doing for her life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a couple of general rules. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. Whatever you have is going to run out, but whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has will never run out. So ally yourself with Al-Ghani subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one with the unlimited fortunes. If you want riches, then connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one with the infinite riches, and do not rely on your own power, your own intellect against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because sooner or later that is going to vanish. The second universal rule is مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does a good deed, whether they are male or female, there's no distinction when it comes to the good deeds between the genders. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Now, the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts here, whoever does a good deed, male or female, while they are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the good life in this life, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them on the Day of Judgment. Now, what if someone who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they negate the second condition, which is mu'min. They did good deeds, they are charitable, they are merciful, they are philanthropists, they are this and that, But they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for everything that they have done. But all of their reward is going to be in this life. So that on the day of judgment, they have nothing left. They're going to get the fame. They're going to get the recognition. They're going to get the appreciation of people, the love of people. But they're going to exhaust all of their, or they're going to consume all of their reward in this life, because they did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so will not have an investment and a share spared for them on the day of judgment. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our good deeds as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extend beyond our lives, and we're going to see the value of these deeds on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glimpse of that day of judgment. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِرُ عَنْ نَفْسِهَا فَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. On that day, every soul is going to be defending for itself or fending for itself. Each soul is going to be standing individually alone in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having to answer for what it has sent forward. If good, alhamdulillah. If bad, then they're going to face the consequences if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهَا. People are going to try to argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that argument is going to be in vain, because the proof is going to be there. Our limbs, our faculties are going to testify even against us if we try to deny anything that's in our books. وَتُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. This is the justice, the beautiful justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every soul would be compensated for what it has done. And no oppression, no injustice will exist on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another example, and there are several examples in this surah. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a village that was safe, prosperous, and comfortable, with their sustenance coming from every direction. They want water, they just dig a well and water gushes out. They want fruits and vegetables, the rain would come irrigate their fields and the plants would come out. Everything is easy, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounds them from every direction. What would a reasonable, grateful village do when they see the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming from all directions? They should appreciate that and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties. But what did this village do? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They rejected these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not attributing them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away these bounties. They were آمِنَة مُطْمَئِنَة. They were safe, comfortable, with sustenance coming from every source. Now these were taken away from them. فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them taste hunger and fear. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. So this is out of what they have earned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cause any injustice to them, but this is due to what they have committed. By the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again, it's a very beautiful surah. It's going to be hard to stop at every ayah, because every ayah has a beautiful significance, but we're just picking and choosing here, or just hopping between the beautiful ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of the surah is talking about, again, a praise for Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifan wa lam yaku min al mushrikeen. Sayyidina Ibrahim was a nation by himself. He was standing up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in awe and in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qanitan lillahi hanifan, with his face directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to any other deity. وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was never an idol worshipper. In fact, he fought the idol worshippers from a very tender age of maybe 13 or 14. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِ. Now, again, the surah comes full circle, since the surah is talking about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is showing what is the proper response to these bounties in the form of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِ. He was grateful for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, اِجْتَبَاهُ وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him, singled him out by bringing him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Guided him to the straight path. And then we are the heirs of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam in the form of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And then we reveal to you, follow the guidance, follow the path, follow the creed of Ibrahim, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners, and do not associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the mantra of his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the advice that extends to us if we want to follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by bringing people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we do that? Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Invite to the path of your Lord with wisdom and good advice. Choose your words. Pick the best way to convince people and to talk to people. And do that with wisdom, to choose the right person at the right time, not the wrong person at the wrong time. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a great human gift. And that great human gift was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known as Nassabat al-Arab. Nassabat al-Arab, which means the one who knows, the one most knowledgeable about the different tribes of the Arabs and the different lineages of these different tribes, because the tribes would have branches and clans and peoples and so on. Sayyidina Abu Bakr was an expert in knowing all of these different branches and the different derivations. And he would accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his trips to invite people to Islam. So he would tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not approach this man. This is not a good person, or this tribe is not a good one. Let's keep them for later. But let's approach this one. This is a good tribe. It's more likely that they're going to respond positively to the message of Islam. So there's the wisdom, again, in the guidance of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The guidance, first and foremost, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was that closest companion to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had his share of that guidance and that blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and he invested and he used that gift and that blessing in the support of the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us keys to people's hearts and minds, inviting them to Islam and using our best judgment and our best words and our best wisdom to approach people with in different ways at different times with different means, to show them the beauty of that faith, to introduce them to their creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those keys and those conduits and those channels, and not to make us obstacles repelling people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, tomorrow we're going to talk about two beautiful surah, Surah Al-Isra and Surah Al-Kahf. So until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.